All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Representative Stephanie Luck joining me now. And then last Thursday, I was really on a bandwagon, ranting and raving, talking about Representative Luck, how they're not really even talking about preventative treatments for COVID. We're a little, in my opinion, we've not only missed the boat there, we've steered the boat down the wrong waterway on purpose. We're just totally going a different direction. In fact, if you talk about some of those things, in fact, I'm surprised I'm still allowed to talk about it here on the airwaves, because literally anybody else out there, social media wise or otherwise, you just really get banned from even talking about it. But you've got a bill to hopefully stop this.
Well, hi. Yeah, it's not to stop the censorship necessarily, unfortunately.
Right.
That goes way beyond the scope of my bill.
Correct.
All I'm trying to do is allow for patients and physicians to make their own reasonable decisions related to treating COVID just like they would any other illness. It's
yeah.
staggering to me that in our state, we have a state agency, DORA, speaking into this issue and saying, if you prescribe these things, we will actually look at investigating you and possibly censuring you or causing you to lose your license. That, to me, is outlandish and beyond the pale when it looks
yep,
to
agree.
Trying to find a solution to this problem that is pervading every aspect of our lives right now.
And by the way, on top of that, this is not DORA's expertise, nor is it what they should be doing in the first place. So it's just, to me, outlandish that they would even go down this path.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I don't see the sense in it. You know, if there's a doctor out there who says, you know what, we're going to try this, and these are the risks, and the patient says, well, you know what, it's worth it to
yep.
me, let's try it.
Agree.
To have the state step in and say, no, you can't do that. And, you know, what's really interesting to me is we're not talking about medications that are new to the market. We're talking about things like ivermectin, where that's on the World Health Organization's model list of essential medicines. In 2015, it won the Nobel Prize in Medicine because it was so successful in eradicating parasitic diseases, of
right.
which COVID is one.
That's right.
And so we're talking about well-used, long-prescribed drugs that the physicians are saying these work. And not just here in the United States, but across the world, we're seeing study after study saying that these multi-drug sequences and protocols involving other drugs are very successful, whether as prophylaxis before you get the disease or as early treatment and even late treatment. We're seeing people who are
mm-hmm.
who are on ventilators and being told, you know, you have 24 hours or 72 hours before we pull the ventilator and just let the patient pass. And the families are saying, hey, just prescribe this, just try this. And the people are walking out a day or two later from
right.
the hospital. So there is such success with these things, and it just boggles the mind as to why, when we're willing to go to such extremes in other ways, that we wouldn't even allow for people to try this.
I couldn't agree more. I think this is something that's, well, let me make sure I say this correctly. Unfortunately, this is something you need to do, Representative Luck, but you should not be doing this. Again, this is something that ought to just be happening. We shouldn't have to have a bill to make this happen. DORA, in my opinion, has no authority to even go down this path. And frankly, that's a whole nother conversation that you guys legislatively probably need to have. DORA, in my opinion, is overstepping its bounds and has no authority in this area anyways.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more.
And that's, again, that's something that's a separate issue from what you're trying to do. And, you know, keep in mind, too, folks listening, and Representative Luck, you know this, you know, we're not even allowing doctors to prescribe preventatively things on the front side to help even keep certain people out of the hospital or out of danger when it comes to COVID. And what I mean by that is some of the things you even mentioned can be given prophylactically. We're not even allowing doctors to do some of those things.
That's right, we aren't. And again, the question becomes why. When you look at the fact that, again, we'll focus on ivermectin right now, but there are a lot of different
yes.
drugs that we're really speaking to that are being used or prescribed off-label. And I just want to take a moment and focus on that terminology for a minute, because I think a lot of people are confused about what does it mean to have a prescription that is off-label.
Okay.
So the FDA, when they approve a drug, they approve it for a particular use But that is really only let me just say this. The FDA does not and cannot prohibit physicians from prescribing for other uses. So if the case of Viagra, which is one of these drugs that is kind of coming out now and possibly helpful. So we all know what Viagra is normally used for.
Yep.
But did you also know that it helps get blood and oxygen into the lungs? Well, that can be helpful when you have a respiratory condition.
Makes sense.
And so there are a number of drugs out there, and I've seen accountings of 20 to 40% of all prescribed drugs are off-label use. So maybe the drug was created to help with arthritis, but then they discover this actually helps clear the liver. And so the doctors can and have the ability to prescribe in any given situation a drug that has been approved for use for whatever purposes that they have found is helpful to those patients. And so this is just common in medicine. This isn't something that has just started with COVID. It's not
we've done it for years.
Trying to create.
It's
common medical practice.
That's
it's
right.
Legal. It's ethical. It's good practice. And we have to be able to empower our physicians to do their jobs and utilize their expertise and uniquely craft treatments for each patient that comes through their door. And to say to them, all of these drugs are off the table for this disease, for this illness, for this virus, doesn't make any sense. And again, like you say, it oversteps the jurisdiction and the authority of the state.
On top of that, Representative Luck, this is how I see it, and this is, I think, for you guys on the legislative side, this needs to be discussed. Several things that I see can come out of the way we're doing things currently. One being, if we can do it with COVID and we can make doctors do this, we can do this with any other type of illness that comes along. It could get to the point where somebody has cancer and they then tell the doctors, you can only do XYZ for treatment when it comes to cancer. Or this particular person has, anything out. Name any type of medical issue, Representative Luck, and they could come along and say, okay, you're only going to be able to do X, Y, and Z as a treatment for these particular diseases, illnesses, broken arms, whatever it happens to be. That is an area that we do not want to go down, by the way. It's not a path we want to go down. On top of that, I'm going to flip this around and say, we could also have Dora now walking into any other type of business and industry saying, wait a minute, time out. You're using XYZ hair color to color this particular lady's or man's hair. You're not allowed to use XYZ product to do that. You've got to use ABC product. This is an area, again, Representative Luck, we do not want to go down. And I could go down the list of things where this could apply. We don't want this.
No, we don't want the state interfering in this way, especially in the doctor-patient relationship. That is sanctified. That right? We want to preserve the sanctity of that relationship. And you're absolutely right. We don't want unelected bureaucrats who often have no expertise this area dictating this kind of treatment and policy. And to use censure, to use the potential of removing a license, puts doctors in untenable positions. You know, one of the reasons that I got into this issue and put a bill, the same bill for last year that I'm doing this year, is because I had doctors coming to me in my own district saying, I'm moving out of state. I can't do this. I took an oath to protect my patients. And this ruling determined this paradigm that I'm now being forced to work within keeps me from being able to fulfill that oath. I'm moving to another state. I'm going, in fact, one gentleman decided I'm not even going to be practicing medicine anymore. And then where do we go? What does that then mean to our medical profession? What does that then leave people? This is exceedingly problematic. And then, I have some constituents who were patients or whose family members were patients, and the advocacy, the level of advocacy and fight that they had to go through in order to get access to these drugs is outstanding. In fact, the black market has kind of developed around this. People are going out of state. They're going out of country. They're ordering ivermectin from India or other countries, or they're going down to their local feed store and purchasing just straight ivermectin, not ivermectin plus other deworming or anti-parasitic paste for animals. And why are we doing that? What is it that that our public policy officials are saying, this is good. This is a good situation we've created. I don't understand their train of thought.
I agree. So you are in CD 47. What do we have a title for the bill yet?
Yes. So it's basically concerning the ability of certain healthcare providers to repurpose therapeutic drugs that have been approved by the Federal Food and Drug Administration for another purpose to provide treatment to individuals with COVID-19. So basically, it's an off-label drug use for treatment of COVID-19.
And it is HB 22-1015. Where does it stand right now, Representative Luck? Where are we at in the legislative end of it?
So it has been recently assigned to the Health and Insurance Committee. We have not yet scheduled a hearing date, but if people are interested in this topic, I encourage them to be reaching out to all of the committee members of the Health and Insurance Committee right now, just letting them know maybe their experiences or their family members' experiences, or maybe as a doctor or medical professional, their desire to be able to prescribe or dispense these medications. And then look for when we're going to have a hearing. Last year, we had some of the most well-renowned, world-famous doctors come in and zoom in and give their testimony. And one of the comments that was made was that we didn't have enough local Colorado voices speaking into this.
Okay.
And so we encourage people in Colorado to come and share their experiences and share their perspectives on this important topic.
Perfect. We will do that. So, folks, there you go. And again, we'll put the link up on the website later tonight for this bill as well, so you can go check it out for yourself. Representative Luck, thank you. Thank you for doing this. And if anything else comes up you want to talk about, let us know, please.
Yeah, and if I can, just one last thing.
Yes, yes.
You know, when you look at what's going on internationally, so in India, in Uttar Pradesh, they had an outbreak, and they introduced ivermectin. They nearly eradicated the presence of COVID. In Argentina, there was a study done with 800 healthcare workers, and 400 of them took ivermectin. Zero of those got sick, but of the 400 in the control group, 58% got sick, 237. You have even the National Institute of Health, Dr. Fauci's group there, coming out and saying that in Peru, excess deaths fell by a mean of 74% with those who introduced ivermectin. And so, you know, there's a body of evidence, and it's growing both nationally and internationally, to say that this multi-drug sequence pursuit of these prophylactic as well as early treatment options are successful in eliminating or reducing the existence of COVID in a population. And so it does bear looking into, and it does bear serious consideration as to why we are prohibiting people from at least trying this.
Spot on. Thank you. Keep us up to date. Again, anytime you want to come back on, we'll have you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And folks, if you want to follow that again, it's HB 22-1015.